Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome to the internet.
Have a look around. Anything that brain of yours can think of can be found. We've got mountains of content, some better, some worse. If none of it's of interest to you, you'd be the first.
Bo Burnham there reminding us of the mountains of information available to us at just the touch of a button or swipe on your phone. But the same could also be said of misinformation, conspiracy theories, fake news, online radicalisation and deep fakes accompanying many genuine news stories every day. So I'm joined now by Aoife Gallagher, a research analyst with the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, a counter-extremism think tank, to discuss the lure of these conspiracy theories slash cults and what to do to pull somebody back out of one of those rabbit holes once they disappear down them. Aoife, good morning and thank you very much for joining us. Can I say at the start, I'm really enjoying the podcast that you were a part of, Finding Q, where you went on the hunt for the person behind or persons behind the QAnon posts. You set yourself no small challenge there.
No, exactly. And morning, Philip. Thank you for having me. It was some task, but I was delighted to be asked to join Nikki Wolf, who is the journalist that has put that podcast together. It was no small task, exactly. But I would encourage people to listen. I'm obviously biased, but I do believe that podcast really it really gives a really comprehensive overview of how these conspiracy theories can pull people in. And I think, you know, QAnon, we could talk about QAnon as well. I mean, QAnon is a sprawling conspiracy theory that, you know, it could also be described as a digital cult. And the effect that QAnon has had on the wider conspiratorial movement can really not be overstated. So I think that, you know, if you really want to get to grips to how these movements kind of...
Oh, there goes
spread,
the line.
I would highly recommend listening to it.
Oh, all right. Sorry, you're back with us again. Explain something to me, though, because QAnon, as you say, it is as good a vista onto the whole realm of conspiracy theories as any other. I went and I looked back in 2018 at some point at all of this QAnon stuff on 4chan and 8chan, the messaging boards where an awful lot of it was being hosted. And I saw absolutely nothing that would have persuaded me that either anybody who was engaging in these platforms was sincere or had anything interesting to say. And I really did look at it for quite a while. So can you explain to me how it is that this stuff gets its hooks into people?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a few years ago, you would have had to go to the likes of 4chan and 8chan and these kind of real dark corners of the internet to find this stuff. But what's really happened as a result, you know, there's a couple of reasons why it's kind of been pushed into more mainstream platforms. You know, a result really of the algorithms that push really charged and emotive content into people's feeds based on the things, on the data that they collect on people. And also, you know, I do believe that the pandemic was a massive, massive vector for why these kind of conspiracy theories flourished. I mean, in general, conspiracy theories tend to kind of come out of massive, shocking world events, and the pandemic is definitely one of them. So I do think that if there weren't conspiracy theories going around, it would be kind of strange, right? But accessibility is definitely one of the big things about this. Years ago, you would have had to seek out this conspiratorial content. Nowadays, you go onto your phone on any of these kind of apps, like the likes of TikTok, which is pretty much fueled mainly by an algorithm, and you will come across this kind of content. And if, you know, you decide to watch that content, the algorithm or the data will say, oh, they watch this content, this will keep their eyes on screens for longer. And this is why they'll keep kind of, you know, this kind of content will keep getting pushed into their feeds. And this is kind of what we describe as the rabbit hole effect. You know, it will keep getting more and more extreme because the algorithms don't know what kind of content they're pushing. They just know that it keeps your eyes on screens for as long as possible. And then I suppose the pandemic has had, you know, it's had a major effect on all of our lives. But in times of crisis, people's defenses go up. We're more inclined to question our level of trust in everything, really. And trust is a really, really big factor in these. So if you already had a, you know, a high level of distrust in, say, your, you know, politicians and your health service and in your media, you're going to be more inclined to believe these conspiracy theories because they all kind of tend to wrap the same narratives around the same entities. They all try to put forward the idea that everyone in the media is lying to you. Everyone in the government is lying to you, especially now with COVID, the idea that the health services are lying to you, and that the pharmaceutical, that, you know, that this is all a ruse by pharmaceutical companies to sell vaccines. So, you know, they're often a very simple way to explain very, very complicated situations. Instead of having to try and get your head around, you know, how a virus is transmitted or how it mutates or how it only affects certain people more than others, it's a lot easier to kind of think, okay, this is all part of some kind of a sinister plot, and you know, it's all been planned for years. You know what I mean? And the brain likes things like that, you know?
One of the things that the podcast Finding Q does very, very well is explains how the impact on otherwise apparently entirely sane and rational individuals that getting lured into one of these conspiracy theories or cults can end up having on you. And the breakdowns, frankly, that it can promote.
Exactly. And that is one of the most devastating really effects of these movements. And we're seeing it more and more all the time. They essentially push people into a separate kind of reality, into an alternate reality, right? And this can cause people to become extremely disconnected from reality, disconnected from their friends, from their family, and drive people into isolation. And they also have a snowballing effect. So if you believe in one conspiracy theory, you're more likely to believe in more than one, because I say they all kind of wrap the same narratives around the same entities. And then the other thing is that it can have, you know, a radicalizing effect. It can cause people to turn to violence. If people really, really think that the government is trying to kill people with vaccines, it's going to make people, you know, turn to more extreme methods to get their point across. And we're seeing this now all the time. I mean, in the UK, we've seen anti-vaccine protesters storming media buildings. Like in Ireland, I have seen a very notable increase in violent rhetoric coming from these groups, you know, calling for buildings to be stormed, calling for politicians to be hung. We've also, I mean, you know, the family of Nicole Cahill speaking on Joe Duffy yesterday, you know, I have to say fair play to them, because they, you know, she pointed out one of the most despicable things that I've seen these movements do here, to be honest, which is that they're
hijacking people's grief. Yeah.
Exactly. They're using the sudden deaths of young people in order to imply, with no evidence, mind you, that they've died because of the vaccine. And they are terrorizing bereaved families because of this.
Of course, it's all absolute nonsense. But Aoife, once you see somebody disappearing down one of these rabbit holes, what can you do? My own efforts with one person failed absolutely spectacularly because I was a member of the mainstream media establishment, no doubt. But is there any relatively tried and tested formula for trying to persuade people back to a real world viewpoint?
Yeah, I mean, there's
you broke up there on us on the crucial point. Start from the beginning of that again, please, Aoife.
Sorry. I said that, so there's no magic wand, right? But there's a number of things that I would tell people to do. I mean, if you want to try and kind of get across to people that what they're doing is wrong, I would say, you know, talk to them on a level of empathy. Try and ask them about the sources of the information that they're getting, because they believe that the media is, you know, lying to you all the time, etc. But they believe that their sources, which are often, you know, way more partisan than the media would be, try and get them to see that they might have an ulterior motive. But the biggest piece of advice that I could really give people, because it is very hard to get through to people that believe in these theories because they have a way of explaining away everything, I would advise people to just keep those lines of communication open. The last thing you want is for people to become so disconnected and so isolated that they don't have any roots in reality anymore. So that would be the main thing that I would say to do. But there's other things that need to be done kind of outside of a personal level as well. I mean, education in media literacy and online literacy is something that I think is going to become like absolutely 100% one of the main things that we need to do. You know, the way that we consume information, you know, because of the internet has just completely changed in the past 10 years. And we need to get to grips with that. We need to be able to essentially inoculate people against these movements and to show them that how to verify the sources of information that they are consuming, and how to make sure that they are getting their information from reliable sources.
Should be part of the core curriculum, but at the moment it seems to be a little little bit extracurricular. Aoife Gallagher, research analyst with the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. We'll take a break.
Thank you.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.